This is Fido Friendly Travel Talk. Here's your host, Susan Sims.
Hey everybody, it's Susan Sims with Fido Friendly Travel Talk, brought to you by Animal Radio, where we talk about the travel and lifestyle for you and your furry best friend. My guest today is Dr. Lauren Benson, Medical Director at Veggie ER for Pets in Carle, New York. Hi, Dr. Benson. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're able to join me. This is a very important topic about ticks. And I've been hearing it, I've been reading it, and they're saying 2026 is going to be the worst tick season. So tell us about that. What's happening to make that so?
So I think it's a lot of things that everyone is already noticing, but not realizing that creates such a bad tick season. So one piece of it is definitely like climate change and getting warmer out. Ticks are staying, alive for longer periods of time and aren't going into their dormant state as readily. So we have a lot more ticks in general. The winters kind of being the more extremes is actually helping the ticks survive more. So the milder winters with the large amount of snowfall that we've seen, we've had a lot of snowfall in the Northeast, like a lot. And it creates almost a like insulated blanket for the ticks to survive the winter. And so that big heavy snowfall that we're getting is actually helping them live longer and survive more. And then there's like a strange situation with larger acorn crops than we've seen in other years, apparently, that is serving at like a really leading to increase in mice and ticks. And the increase in mice and ticks are really important hosts for the ticks. Increase in mice and deer population. And so our ticks are staying on the mice and deer, and that is allowing them to have longer life cycles.
Oh my gosh, there's so much more to it than what I even imagined. And so what should we be doing when we're walking our dogs? Like, give us a 101 on where we should be walking our dogs.
So I think everyone knows a lot about like ticks being in the woods, right? That's what your first thought comes up, is that I'm going to walk through the middle of the woods and that's the only way I'm going to get ticks on my dog. But it's actually not true. Ticks live in tall grasses, brushy trails that we go on. Even as like lawns, like slightly overgrown lawns, backyards, we can have ticks in. The like edges of the woods, not even having to go in, just walking around the woodland edges, as well as like big leaf piles carry ticks. So, in the fall, as everything's getting cute and fun and leaves are falling and your dog wants to romp through that giant, pile, there's actually a significant amount of ticks in that area. Ticks don't jump, so they don't have the capability to jump. They have like little front legs that they climb on top of our pets and ourselves with. So your pet has to brush up against these things. So if you steer clear of, tall grass, brush, these large leaf piles, you usually can do a better job of avoiding ticks on top of your dog. So like really well-established paths with very little vegetation is the ideal.
And are there states that are hotspots? We live in Idaho. I shared that with you before we started our chat. So what are the states that are the hotspots?
So as typical, the Northeast is definitely the one that's a little bit extra this season. So, talking about New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, like all of the tri-state area. But we have seen some increased tick population out in the like Midwest, surprisingly, like Wisconsin, Minnesota, all of those types of places, definitely all due to the shift in climate. And there has been some increase in the Southeast as well. It's not typical for the ticks to go there, but Tennessee, et cetera, has also seen an increase in ticks.
Oh, wow. And so walk us through, we find a tick on our dog. What do we do? And are we going to automatically go to the vet?
So you definitely want to remove the tick as soon as possible. So first off, if the tick is just walking along the fur, that's a really easy time to get the tick off. So make sure you wear gloves yourselves. We want to make sure that we're protecting humans as well as our pets. So wear gloves and just pull the tick off and dispose of it. But if the tick has already become embedded in the skin, there's two options. One, they make tick removing tools. We actually have a bunch of them at most veg hospitals. So you just kind of get underneath the tick and elevate it, or you take a pair of tweezers. The important part that I think most people are aware of, but maybe not everyone, is that you want to try to get the tick out entirely in one piece, because if the head separates from the rest of the body, it is really challenging to go back and then take out the head and sort of the little arms that have embedded inside the body. So you want to hook it in at the base and pull directly up. Don't angle it, don't move it in other directions. You want to pull directly straight up. Don't twist. Don't do burning. I've seen lots of different ways that people think to take the ticks off, but it really is the simplest way, is the best way, is just making sure you get to the base and lift directly up. As far as checking with your vet, I do think it's important to communicate. A lot of vets are able to actually test the tick itself to see if the tick contains any of the diseases. So I do think that is an important step one. Also, because most of us don't typically know how long the tick was embedded on our pets, we'd love to believe we like saw it right away, but most of the time we didn't. Definitely communicating with your vet about when they want you to come in for some testing to see if there's anything that has been transferred over to your pet.
Okay, and the type of illnesses, if that were infected, what are those illnesses?
So the big, one that everyone knows about is Lyme disease, which truly is a major player in the tick world. There are three others that are equally as common to find, and then there's definitely far less common ones, but the other three are Anaplasma, Ehrlichia, and Babesia. We see Anaplasma as the second most common. Sometimes we see Ehrlichia. I think Babesia for us, at least in the Northeast, is the least common of them.
Well, will the pets present in any way where you go, oh my gosh, let's just say worst case scenario, you didn't see the tick. And let's say worst case scenario, it was they did get infected. What are there signs that they'll show you that something is off?
Yes, there are. So I think the most important thing for everyone to know is that it actually takes a couple of weeks for them to start presenting the signs. So it's usually about 4 to 6 weeks. So it can be a while until you actually start to see any development of clinical signs related to the tick. One of the more common ones we see is difficulty walking or lameness, limping. That is really, really common with a lot of the tick-borne diseases. The more serious things turn into being lethargic, pale gums, difficulty breathing. Those are the more serious disease processes that we get with these.
Okay. And what would be the best line of defense besides avoiding the pile of leaves and the tall grasses?
Yeah, no, the best line of defense we have in veterinary medicine is prevention. So using tick preventatives in your pet year round is very, very important. I think, if it's snowing outside in the dead of winter, you may be able to choose to back off of them for a little bit. But as we've seen with our winters, it has gotten quite warm. And so I don't even know that I would trust it at this point. But they make oral preventatives that you take once monthly. Some of them are actually once every 3 months, making compliance so much easier. There are topical medications that you put on once monthly. And there's also tick collars that they have, so you can put them around your pet. I personally did a combination of the oral preventative and the collar in my pet because I really did want to be very much on top of it. And the collar was great because it lasted 8 months, so I was able to keep it on her for long periods of time.
Yeah. Well, that's all good advice. So before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know? And where's the best place for them to learn more?
So definitely the most important thing to know, in my opinion, is that prevention is the most important part of all of this. So your best treatment for tick-borne disease is prevention itself. A few seconds spent checking your dog after a walk could prevent weeks or even months of illness. And if your dog appears healthy after a tick bite, just don't assume there's no risk. It can take a really long time for these things to show up. So make sure you're following up on these things with your veterinarian. And if you have any questions, we run a 24-hour emergency hospital, veterinary emergency group, VEG, VEGER for pets. We can be a phone call away. You can talk to a doctor if you have any concerns. And I'm sure everyone has established care with their regular vet, which will also be available for any questions or concerns.
This is very important, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
That's it for Phyto Friendly Travel Talk. You've been listening to my guest, Dr. Lauren Benson, Medical Director of VEGER. That's VEGER. Visit her at www.veg.com. And for more information about today's show or just about traveling with Phyto, log on to phytofriendly.com. Until next time, travel safe and leave no dog behind. This is Susan Sims with Phyto Friendly Travel Talk.